Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, this text, as we saw last Lord's Day, is that which brings comfort to the people of God. It brings comfort to the people of God because we know through the testimony of Scripture that our God reigns. The difficulty that we often have is that we look away from the Lord. We begin looking at our problems. We begin looking at the difficulty that we're in rather than looking at the God who controls and rules over all things. So it is good for us, it is spiritually healthy for us to understand again and again that our sovereign God reigns in the kingdoms of men. We need to recognize this more and more to comfort our hearts when we go through all the difficulties of life, because we are going to go through difficulties. We need to know that the Lord is upholding all things and that nothing in this world happens by chance, but all things come by His fatherly hand. He is able to keep us because He is Almighty God. He is also willing to do so because He is our Heavenly Father. He is going to provide for His people. Jerusalem, Zion, needed to know this, needed to understand this in the difficulty that they were going through. And so it was given to Isaiah, the prophet, to bring glad tidings of good things and to declare that God's Word stands forever. That's a call for us, as God's people, to go back again and again and read the Word of God and take comfort from the promises and the precepts that are given in Scripture. The Lord is going to minister to us either by precept or by principle, but everything in the Word of God speaks to us in some way. Principally or by direct precept. And we need to cultivate that and we need to have confidence. And if you're lacking that confidence, beloved, it's because of the fact that you have not exercised yourself in the Word of the Lord as you ought to. You ought to take more time to read the Word. You ought to have this Word to nourish your soul, to be a priority in your life. You have many things that you do when you get up in the morning. Is one of the things that you do sitting down and reading the teaching of God's Word, reading the Scriptures and growing in the knowledge of the truth? You're neglecting your soul. You feed your body, but you neglect your soul if you're not partaking of the heavenly bread. We sang it, didn't we? Feed us with the heavenly bread until we want, which is meaning until we lack no more. Keep on feeding and nourishing yourself up on the Word of truth so that when you go through the difficulties of life, it's not going to be a crisis of your faith because you know that your God reigns. God reigns in the kingdoms of men and He does all of His good pleasure. All of Scripture declares that. Because of sin, we want the things that we want and we want God to rubber stamp our program. Think about when you say it's been a good week. Why has it been a good week? Well, you say it's been a good week because things went my way. There were no difficulties that I couldn't handle in my life. And that's what we want. We want a life of peace. We want a life of tranquility. Beloved, that's fantasy. That's not in this world. You know, if you watch the, Fixer Upper show with Chip and Joanne Gaines. And I noticed that every time that he finishes a home and speaks to the couple, he says these words. We're glad to share this with your life and this portion of your life and be involved in this portion with your life. And we hope that you'll have and live in this home happily ever after for the rest of your days. And I just laugh. I mean, that's fairy tale. Two sinful people brought together, you're going to have fireworks and conflict. You're going to live across the street from somebody who doesn't like you because you're a Christian, and you're going to have conflict. You're going to have a get-together and somebody's going to complain because too many cars out on the street. That's a fairy tale. You're not going to live happily ever after in this world of conflict, in trouble, in trials, and tribulation. If you were to go through the Scriptures, and we'll just say the New Testament, and you were to take all the portions of Scripture that deal with trials, tribulation, persecution, tumult, suffering, difficulties, all those type of words, you would be amazed how often the Scripture speaks about that. Systematic theology will bring all of those portions together, systematize them, so when you read them, it would make a great impact on your life. Yes, you know what? We live in a turbulent world. We live in a world that is unsafe. You ladies, if your car broke down at night and you were by yourself, you know you are in an unsafe condition. You're in an unsafe place. You've got to use wisdom and diligence in that. Why? Because we live in an unsafe world of fallen mankind, where men will kill men and do all kinds of harm to one another for a couple of bucks. It's a difficult world. I need to know, you need to know, we as the people of God need to know that our God reigns. That He does rule over all things, and even in these particular things that are hard in our life, that they're tools that God uses to mold and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. It is not easy being molded and shaped into the image of Christ. That implies pressure in your life. Nothing is ever formed without pressure. A house is put together by a lot of hammering that goes on. A lot of banging and smashing of things that go together. A potter, as he takes his wheel, he puts pottery on it, and he forms it. There's pressure that is applied. Somebody that blows glass, there's pulling and stretching. There's pressure that is applied. So it is in the Christian life. There's pressure. But God comforts us. Comfort, yes, comfort my people. To know the words of comfort that our God reigns. Now my flesh is like grass. The flower of the field is like grass. It simply springs up, and in Palestine, the Moroccan wind would come along and would just burn that stuff down, and they would wilt and they would be no more. But the fact of the matter is that God's Word stands forever. It never fails. The things that I have planned, they fail. God's plans never fail. People will always let you down. You will let people down. But God will never let us down. God will never fail in all that He has promised His people in His Word. You can count on that. It's said twice. The Word of our God abides forever, endures forever, stands forever. Jesus said it. The Apostle Peter said it. The Apostle Paul said it. It's reiterated again and again. Get the point? God's Word stands. It never fails. It never falls to the ground. Anything that God has promised will always be upheld and will always come to pass. This is the comfort. Now, thinking about Jerusalem, thinking about Zion, and all the trouble and trials they've gone through in their life, as the people of God, struggling in this way, attacked on one side, attacked on the other side, temple being destroyed, their cities being destroyed, ravished by the surrounding nations, they needed to know of their God. They needed to be reminded of their God. Now, are we any different than they are? Are we any different than they were? We're the same. We need to hear this comfort, and that's why God gives the comfort to His people. Now think about the comfort of this as you're going through problems in your life. We'll look this morning at verses 12 through 17. Isaiah says this, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" That's the first question. God often asks questions. These are rhetorical questions. Rhetorical meaning they imply that God only. They imply that only God has done these things. But think about the things that God has done. He's measured the waters, which means the seas, in His hand. Now you think about His omnipotence. The measuring, as it says here, the measure in the hollow of His hand is like a span. And that's from your pinky to your thumb. So if you get the imagery, it would be like God scooping up all the seeds of the earth and holding them in His hand. But it's less than that. Because even that imagery fails. But God has measured these things out. Think about the world in which we live and how the world is set and built by the mind of God to be able to sustain the life that we live by all the things that He has began in the garden. The things that God has planted, the things that grow, the things that nourish. There is what's called a dedicatory principle in Scripture. That God creates, and whatever He creates, He prepares that for the next thing that He's going to create. So in other words, He didn't create the beast of the field and then give the grass. He gave the grass and then brought the beast so that they could partake of the grass. Man is the crown of God's creation, and so all things then were prepared for man to glorify His God, to use for His glory. God is prepared to be able to feed multitudes. How's that? Do you realize how much food has to be grown in this world for 8 billion people to eat? How often do you eat, beloved? Well, maybe you don't want to say that. 2, 3, 4 times a day? Plus the snacking in between? And the little things, that's nothing, it's just a handful of this, handful of that. In the amount of food that must be grown to supply the needs of 8 billion mouths that are constantly eating. I mean, you know, right now, there are people sitting down eating all over this world. And yet God is the one who supplies all these things. What a wonder. God is the one who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. So, has man done this? No. God has done this. He's measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth. Do you think about the dust of the earth? You ladies, maybe when you go and you dust your house, you think about the dust. Who can measure all the dust that is in this world? God has measured it. God has measured the heavens with a span. He knows the expanse. His knowledge is unlimited. Who can fathom unlimited knowledge? There's no boundaries of God's knowledge, His understanding, His omnipotence to do all of His good pleasure. When the Lord told Abraham, this time next year, I'm going to return and Sarah is going to be with child. Sarah was in the back of the tent and she laughed. And when she came forward, the Lord directed a question to her and said, why did you laugh? And then she lied. Because that's what we do as sinful people, don't we? We've been found out, so now we lie. Oh, I didn't lie. Oh, yeah, you did. And the laugh is going to be on you. You laughed at what I said. And then the Lord asked her a question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can you come up with something that's too hard for me to do? I will do all of my good pleasure. Because I am the omnipotent one. I am the omniscient one. I'm the omnipresent God. I have all knowledge, all power, all wisdom. I uphold all things with the word of my power. When I say the end, they fold back up like a scroll. When I say remain, they remain as they are. I say to the proud waves, thus far and no further. And that's exactly what they do. Because I am the God that controls and rules over all things. Think about Job. Job was pummeled from chapter 38 through 42. He was given question after question after question, and he could not answer a one. And in his wisdom, he realized how stupid he was. And that's where real wisdom is found, beloved. Not arguing with the Lord. The best thing that he did is put his hand over his mouth. And said, you know what, I need to shut up. I spoke too soon. I spoke too much. God asked him this question, who is this who darkens counsel without knowledge? And when you put it in our language, who's this idiot? Who's this moron coming forward and speaking foolishness? You want to justify yourself and condemn me? Let me ask you some questions. Gird yourself like a man, the Lord says to Job. You know you're in trouble, don't you? Strap it on, pal, because I got some questions for you. And you'll answer me like a man. Well, he couldn't answer a one. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I set the stars in the heavens? Where is the storehouse for the hail? Who let the first wild mountain goat go free? Who sends forth the lightning bolts? Who says to the proud waves, thus far and no further? And he goes on and on. And Job, you could just see him, he's like a nail being hit with a hammer, driven further and further into the ground. This is our God who does all these wonders. And all we can do is wonder and rejoice and magnify Him. And that's the point, beloved. Our God reigns. Putin is dust. The Lord would say, now, and he would be rolled up like a scroll. The Lord speaks the word, and it would put an end to all of this. It may be his judgment upon this world. Don't think that he doesn't bring judgment. Judgment's coming. Judgment's happening every day. God is bringing judgment in this fallen world. There is temporal and eternal judgment. And the temporal judgment ushers people into eternal judgment. 9/11 and the Twin Towers collapse. That was a judgment. Don't think that God's not involved in any of that. It's appointed all men to die once. And the Lord has not said, you're going to die from cancer, or you're going to die from a car crash, or you're going to... It's all of a judgment in that sense against sin, isn't it? And the rebellion of man against the true and living God, who reigns and His Word stands firm forever. And that is that all men are as flesh. They're like the flower of the field and like grass, and they will be wiped out. But God's Word stands. So, the one that we worship, He's the one who's given us the seas. He's the one who's given us the expanse of the heaven, which we can't even measure. How far can you go down in the depths of the seas? What kind of critters are on the bottom of the seafloor that man has not even seen because he can't get down all the way to the bottom? And it's so murky dark to be able to see anyway when he goes down there. You can only withstand so much pressure when you're underwater in that way. And God has created these things. And the wonders we see in this world, the dust in the world, God has measured it out. He's also measured and weighted the scales of the mountain, or the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Now, he's speaking about the same thing. Scales and balances are weights. They're a form of measurement. And you put something small on there, and you can see that the weight goes up. You can see it begins to measure. God is the one who's weighed these things out. You think about the proportion of the world in which we live. That how is it that the world spins on an axis and it spins without, I mean, the mountains and the depths of the sea and all the weight that is on the globe, on this earth. And yet, well, let me give you an example. If you had a rubber ball and you weighted it on one side and you rolled it, what would it do? The weighting of the world, the weight of the world, the weight of this globe, the weight of earth, must have been designed by God in such a way that it's weighted is proportionate with the heights of the mountains and the depths of the sea so that we don't have that jolt. You know, and every 24 hours, all of a sudden we fall down because there was too much weight on one side. God has measured these things out. Could you do that? I couldn't do that. The whole of the world coming together doesn't have enough knowledge and understanding to be able to do that. We can't weigh out the depths of the sea. We can't expand the expanse of the sea. The proportionment of it. The mountains, the hills, all the heavens, the dust of the earth. We can't do these things. God alone can do them. That's the God that we worship. You think about these questions. Who's done it? God has done it. And who's been His counselor? Have you directed the Spirit of the Lord? Have you given him counsel? What are you going to tell the Lord? Beloved, listen. Thinking about our prayer life, what is it that you think you can withhold from the Lord? God knows our hearts. He knows our words. How long has He known our words? From all eternity. He's known every word that you're going to speak in your lifetime, and He's known it forever. And you're going to hide that from Him? Aren't we in that way like little children? We think we can hide these things from our parents. God knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows your thoughts before you even think them. He's known them from all eternity. Nobody counsels God. Nobody gives Him knowledge. He is the Eternal One, the Ancient of Days, the One who is and who was and who is to come, the One who upholds all things forever and ever. He is the Eternal God. He takes counsel from no man. You see, the kings of the earth in the ancient day used to take counsel from the citizens. I have a spiritual council that I'm a part of for giving counsel. Why? Because I'm fallible. I make mistakes. And so do you. And so we take counsel. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't need counsel. He has no counsel. He has no counselor that He can go to. God is the counselor. God makes knowledge what it is by what His own mind says. Everything is what it is because of the mind of God. You realize that. Even the law of mathematics, being able to count things. That's the mind of God being revealed to us in the created realm. His mind knowing it makes it what it is. That's the God that we worship. This is the awesome God, beloved. Now when you start to think about the world war and all the other things, it becomes a really insignificant little thing in this world when we know that our God reigns. There's a comfort. There's a boldness to know that we are in the hands of God. We don't live stupidly, but we live boldly. We live as a people that are without fear. We can't be a fearful people when we're in the hands of the Lord. Now, I'm hoping that this pandemic, this farce that we went through, should have taught us something. It's the Lord who takes your life, not a virus. The Lord has appointed your death, beloved. And if you get on an exercise routine and you run every day and the doctor says, hey, you're going to add 20 years to your life. No, you're not. You're going to die on the appointed day. It may enhance the quality of your life, but it's not going to change the duration of your life. You are going to die on the appointed day that the Lord has determined from before the foundation of the world. You can't escape it. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we serve. There may be a World War III, but our God reigns. The church will never be destroyed. I might be killed, but I've been given a promise that I have everlasting life. He who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and will not perish, has passed from death into life and will never more come under condemnation. I'll never be condemned. Why? Christ took my condemnation. That's the promise of God. My body, they can kill. My body's going to die. Some point, disease, car crash, cancer, whatever it may be, this body is going to go to the ground unless Christ returns. But they cannot take my soul. You cannot take eternal life from me, everlasting life which God has granted. God has granted this, and that's my comfort and confidence. God is judge. God has justified, and He's justified by His Son. So who is He who condemns? Who cares about the thoughts and the words of mankind? You cannot condemn me before a living God. He alone has justified me. He alone can condemn. We're not the judges of the earth. He is the judge that rules over all things. That's what man can't get into his mind. He can't get that down into his soul. Man does not reign. God reigns. There are many plans in the heart of a man, but the Lord's will, that will stand. You know, the king has lots of plans in his heart, but the Lord turns his heart just like the rivers of water. He controls him. Putin is nothing. Biden is nothing. They are dust. They are flowers. They are grass. They'll wither. They'll fall away. God has a purpose in all the foolishness going on in this world. God has a purpose. Whether we know it or not, beloved, He is a God of purpose. He is a God of exactness. He is not an arbitrary God. He has a purpose in everything that happens in this world. And we can say yea and amen as the people of God. We can have confidence and courage in all that the Lord is bringing to pass. Whom did he take counsel? And whom instructed him? Paul makes mention of this in 1 Corinthians. Who's the Lord's counselor? You know, if you think you're God's counselor, and look, let me just simply say this. We do. To our shame. Admit it. We do. And we do every day. You know why we do it every day and how we do it every day? We disagree with the things that God providentially brings into this world. And we don't say, I don't know what God is doing. We say it this way. I don't know what God's doing about that. Of course you don't. Because you're finite. You're grass. You're a flower. You're flesh. You're not infinite. You don't uphold all things. You haven't created everything and you don't providentially control everything. You don't even control your life, beloved. You think you do, but you don't. We're in the hands of the Lord. You can't extend your life. You can't make yourself smarter and more wise. You can't read the Word and say, oh, I understand it all now. God must enlighten you. Think of how stupid we are because of sin. Sin really does make us stupid. We question God's wisdom. We question His works. We question the death of a loved one. We say things like this, which is idiotic. He died too young. Says who? Whose time do we live in? In your hands, Father, are all my times, David says. My times are in your hands. Who taught God the path of justice? And who has taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Nobody. That's the point. So the best we can do when the Lord does things in this world, in our lives, that we absolutely do not understand, is to do what Job did. Put your hand over your mouth. What's the idea? Lest you open your mouth and really show that you're a fool. That's what the point is. Let me keep my mouth shut because I know whatever comes out of here, I'm going to show myself as an absolute idiot because I'm contending with the Almighty. This is the God that we worship. He says that the nations of the world, seems like a big world in which we live. And it's big to us. When you look out even in the United States, there's a couple thousand, 3,000 miles from coast to coast. Whatever it is, 2,000 miles or whatever from north to south. It's a big country in which we live, it seems. And then the scriptures say, they're a drop in the bucket to the Lord. Have you ever taken a 5-gallon bucket? Really, to really give the emphasis of this, maybe a 55-gallon drum barrel and drop a piece of a little water in there. Just a droplet of water. Just one of those little squeeze things and just drop one drop in there. And what are you doing? You're going like this. I don't even see it. That's right. That's how the nations are to the Lord. It seems like this great, big, wild, expansive world in which we live, and it's like a drop in the bucket to the God who has created all things. They're counted as less than small as a dust on the scales. Dust on the scales that doesn't even bring weight down upon the scales. It doesn't even measure. That's how the worlds are counted. He lifts up the isles as a very little thing. The isles are speaking about the Mediterranean islands. And God lifts them up as a very little thing. He takes them away as a little thing. It's nothing for Him to do these things. Last time I was in Marco Island in Florida, I went on a tour of what's called the 10,000 islands in around Marco Island. And it's all these little islands that are all around. God has done all this thing. He has done all of His good pleasure, and it's a wonder to see it. And Isaiah is saying, these are nothing. Things that we're fascinated with. We're like, wow, the seventh wonder of the world. And we see all of these things. We're like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar with Babylon. Look at all this great Babylon that I have built, and the hanging gardens and the waterways. And look at what I have done. That's nothing. Look what God has done. And God has done these things that enables you to do what you do. We're only using what God has given in this world. We're using what He has produced in His wisdom, which He has provided for. The laws of logic, the laws of mathematics, the laws of physics, all of these laws God has implemented into this world. We simply discovered these things. We haven't created them. God's given all the material for us to do the things that we do. It's a little thing for Him to lift these things up. Lebanon is not sufficient. The beasts are not sufficient for burnt offering. What's the idea there? Well, Lebanon was noted for its wood, for its trees, building, using these things, because they had glorious trees. So any carpenter would know you go for the best. And Lebanon had it. And therefore, because of the forest that they had and the ability they had to build in the wood, they would be exporting things, as it were, from Lebanon to other countries who wanted this exquisite lumber. That means that they had lots of forest, and in the forest they had lots of animals, lots of beasts. And Isaiah says, you bring all that together and that's not even worthy to offer to God as a burnt offering. He is so magnificent, He is so glorious, He is so almighty. That ought to humble us. The nations before Him are as nothing. You know, it reminds me of Psalm 8. David says, what is man that you're mindful of him? We are like this drop in the bucket. And yet God visits us. We are as the dust of the balance, as next to nothing. And yet the Lord takes account of us. God has loved us that He provided the way of salvation in His Son. We who are less than nothing. But He's made us His image bearers. He's made us in His likeness. He's put His law within our hearts. We are called to be vice regents, deputies of God on this earth, to live and to serve and to worship for His honor and glory. And who are we? We're like, we're rebels. We have fallen away from the Lord. We desire to build our own kingdom and not His. We want to serve our flesh and not the glory of God. And yet the Lord takes account of us. The Lord ministers to us. The Lord cares for us. He loves us. He's provided His Son, Jesus Christ. We who are less than nothing. David says, I am a worm and not a man, a groveler on the earth. And God provides our salvation. All these things, Isaiah says, are less than nothing and worthless. Man esteems them highly, but they are nothing in the sight of the Lord. The things that man esteems highly are an abomination to God. So, beloved, whenever you are fearful, whenever you have difficulties in your life that come, and they're going to keep coming in this fallen world. Whenever your heart is afraid, even as the psalmist said, I run to the rock that is higher than I. Comfort yourself in this passage right here, that your God reigns. That He's done all these things. He's provided for you the salvation in His Son. Is He going to let you go astray? Is He going to let someone snatch you out of His hands? Never. It's impossible. Does He know what He is doing in all things in this world? Absolutely. He is the omniscient God who has planned everything from the beginning to the end, all the consummation of the glory of His Son. God knows what He's doing, even when we do not. It is like that tapestry. It's woven and weaving through with all kinds of intricacy in God's design according to His omniscience for His glory and the good of His people. That brings comfort to the heart. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know the one who upholds me. I don't know what I will do tomorrow, but I know the one who dwells within me. I know the promises of God given to me. I know in whose hand I reside. Let the wars come. Let all the things happen in this world that God has designed. Come they may. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they can kill. God's truth will triumph still. So, beloved, we need to be that comforted people. We need to be that courageous people. We need to be that bold people. That even in the midst of the world falling down around us, we are telling people that God reigns. that all will be well as those who are in Jesus Christ, because the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God has promised us life everlasting. Not in this world, in this kingdom, in this condition, but that which is coming. And it's in that which we rejoice. Reflect on this when your heart is troubled with all the events that go on in this world. That our God is the lifter of the head and He is the keeper of the soul. That is the promise He's given to His people in His Word. Amen. Shall we pray?